Joining us to talk about today's action and what we've seen so far at the World Cup, our friend John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter at Sportsnet. John, great to have you on the show. And, well, let's start with Colombia-Poland. A lot of good scoring chances, entertaining first half. Your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, pretty tight affair. I thought, the Colombia goal was well taken. It was a great great ball in by James Rodriguez and a lovely finish. And I think Colombia has carried, the bulk of the play, but it's far from over. And I think Poland is going to be really, pressing now, because if this result holds up, then they're going to be eliminated. So obviously they have something to play for. So I'll be expecting a much more fervent style of play from them in this last 45 minutes.
John, Germany looked like they finally got their act together in the second half against Sweden, scoring a late goal to take that match. The celebration is catching a bit of interest across social media, and particularly in Sweden, because they felt they were disrespected by the Germans. What did you make of that?
Well, I mean, I take the Swedish coach at his word to a certain extent. He's very well respected within, the international soccer community. So if he's talking about, players sort of celebrating, in his technical area or in front of the Swedish bench after the goal, then, I can certainly appreciate where he's coming from. And that to me would be disrespectful. Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't quite made clear to me, what exactly he was saying. I mean, was that the case? Was it just sort of the Germans kind of carrying on after the final whistle when they carried on to the field? Wasn't made entirely clear to me what specifically the accusation was. I take it a little bit with a grain of salt, but again, the Swedish coach is not one to sort of make false accusations. So, it's a heated moment. People lose their heads and let the emotion get the better of them sometimes. So you can certainly understand why the Germans were buoyant after getting that late goal.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt the emotions were going. There was a lot at stake, and so there you have it. But we'll see what happens. Still some football to be played in the third game of the group stage for both those teams, so we'll see how it shakes down. Earlier today, England dominating over Panama, filling the goal, which, is always a good thing in the group stage to give you that goal differential advantage as well. But I guess, John, when it comes down, well, first, before we try to speculate as to what happens, whether you finish first or second in the pool and where you meet in the knockout stage, let's talk about England's performance. A dominant first half, never in doubt, scored 6 goals. The English side has got to be pretty pleased the way this World Cup has gone so far.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, it's 6 points from 2 games. They've been very professional in their performances. It's been a very balanced and composed sort of England at this tournament. A humble one, too. We've played with a great deal of humility. That hasn't always been the case with this English team. And it's sort of the Hollywood culture that sort of enveloped this national side. Under previous coaches and when David Beckham was there, there's no sign of that. There's just, this is all about playing with humility and playing within themselves. So they've looked very good at this tournament. I think stiffer challenges lie ahead, though. I mean, to be perfectly blunt, Tunisia and Panama are pretty poor sides. Like Panama, I would argue, is the worst team at this World Cup. So, they've done what they've had to do, but, Belgium in the final game is going to be a much stiffer test. I think whatever lies ahead in the knockout round is going to be a much tougher challenge for them. So, England has to be pleased, but I think they also have to be cautious and realize, taking into consideration the quality of the opposition they faced, it hasn't been all that great.
Yeah, that England-Belgium game is interesting in just the fact of how it's going to be played. What are your expectations with that matchup ahead?
Well, it's an interesting one because Roberto Martinez, the Belgian manager, came out yesterday and said, several of his key players are either injured or dealing with minor knocks. So he's going to make a lot of lineup changes. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see how that shakes out because, first place is up for grabs here, that's not insignificant. So I don't know. I mean, Belgium, though, has such great depth and such great quality that even if he does make wholesale changes, I have to think that they're going to give England a very hard time. And I think England will absolutely put out the best team possible because they want to keep this momentum going.
Sure.
And they want to, carry all that on to the group stage. I don't think now is not the time to sort of take your foot off the pedal. Unless guys are injured, then you can certainly understand. But I don't think you sort of make wholesale changes just to give some players rest. I think you have to absolutely go for it and, continue this great run that they're on.
John Molinaro with us, chief soccer reporter of Sportsnet, Roger Lajoie, Brian Dunstan with you here on Sportsnet today as we talk about day 11 at the World Cup. Colombia and Poland have started in the second half, just underway, 1-0 Colombia still leading Poland. So, John, further to that point then, one of the things about this tournament that's been intriguing, and there's been many things to be intrigued about in this World Cup, is the certainly relatively slow starts of some of the world powers. We already talked a little bit about Germany, who finally found the offense late to avoid really what would have been a perilous situation. And Brazil needed two goals in extra time to finally, solidify their spot. And both teams still have some work to do in the third game of the group stage. But it may change, who finishes first, who finishes second, and how the matchups in the round of 16 shake down. Do you think, and I know it's hard not to, and the cliche is, you just keep playing, you don't pay any attention to that. But if you're in a position where you've clinched a spot, and you get to a stage where you know that if we lose, because, Germany and Brazil may both very well move on. They might not. And they may move on as the number two in their group, not number one, which changes the matchup. Do teams even being cognizant of that? And if you had a choice of, who are we going to meet in the knockout match? Because no matter how Brazil and Germany are playing, I'm sure there's not a team in this tournament that wants them in the first knockout game.
I think that'll always be in the back of the manager's mind about tournament management, what is what I call it, about sort of, obviously looking at your next game ahead in the group stage, but also looking at the potential path that you have to take. So I don't doubt that's, sort of one element that will color the decisions that they make in terms of tactics and player personnel and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think, a manager wants to sort of keep winning. And I think if he knows a certain result, if a loss or a draw, helps avoid a certain team, I really struggle to think that that's going to be sort of the mentality that manager takes. I think he's just going to naturally going to say, look, let's go out and win. Let's continue, especially for a team like England. Let's continue to do what we're doing. We're on a very good run here. We want to keep the momentum going. Let's play fearless and let's, just have the attitude that, we're here in the winners and we can beat whoever it is, regardless who we're going to play in the next round. So I think that probably plays some, like I said, it's probably in the back of their mind, but I really don't think it's the deciding factor in, tactically and in terms of lineups as to what they're going to do.
John, what do you make of the struggles that Argentina's had thus far?
Well, I just think it speaks to what an incredibly, unbalanced one-man team that they are. They don't have a starting goalkeeper, really, at national team level. And Willy Caballero isn't even a starter for his Premier League team. The defense is aging and not very good. And, God love Messi, but he can't do it all on his own. And, you look at what he does at Barcelona. He has a pretty strong supporting cast there. And this notion that he should be good enough to lift his national team on his shoulders and, get them to the group stage, I think that's nonsense. It's a team game and you need, strong players around you. And
absolutely.
I don't know that Argentina has, I don't think it has, a strong enough team around Messi. They certainly have some decent players in Sergio Aguero and Angel Di Maria, but I think they're a team of individual players. I don't know that they're a team, a cohesive unit. They just seem to be, there's no identity there. The Argentine coach Sampaoli has used, 13 different lineups in his last 13 games, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to get a sense of who this Argentine tactically is and the way they play and just an identity. So it's not at all surprising that they've struggled thus far. And, the start of the tournament, I didn't really predict that they would go far. And I didn't think they would struggle this much, but I certainly didn't see them, reaching a final like they did 4 years ago in Brazil.
Interesting. John, Group H is in the minds of a lot of people, a difficult one to figure out, and it certainly isn't the most, high-profile group. In fact, likely the least. And after today's Japan-Senegal 2-2, which was a very entertaining match, I thought. You look at the standings, you look at Colombia playing now against Poland, it is still somewhat difficult to figure out. Your thoughts on the other game of the day and how that ties into how this, who's going to move out on from this group?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, before this tournament started, I refer to this one as the group of death, because you had four different teams from four different continents, and they're all, I think, on equal footing. You can't look at this group before the tournament and say, so-and-so is definitely going to go through. I could have easily seen any two of the four go through. I don't think there's any doubt that the win or the draw today between Senegal and Japan puts them in the driver's seat going into the final group stage games. They've looked, I think, the best two teams in this competition. They've been just full of bright attacking football, and I thought they both put on a great show today. It was a very entertaining game, probably the second best game of the tournament behind that 3-3 draw between Portugal and Spain. But I don't think there's any doubt that it definitely puts pressure on Colombia and Poland, provided, you know, Poland might even be out of it by the time, by the end of the day. But I don't think there's any doubt that it certainly puts added pressure on them, because they have to get some points from this, whereas Japan and Senegal are have a huge advantage going into the final round of games.
In Group B action, do you see any way that Portugal can lose to Iran?
Well, possibly. I mean, I'd be surprised. But, I mean, Iran is a very difficult team to break down. I mean, they play a very defensive brand of football, and they make it incredibly hard for teams to score against them. I can recall 4 years ago they gave Argentina fits, and it was only a late Messi goal that allowed the Argentines to escape with a win. So, and they gave Spain everything they could handle. They gave Morocco everything can handle, and we're very lucky to get the late win by own goal. But they're incredibly well organized in defense, and just go to the great lengths to maintain their defensive shape. So it'll be interesting to see how long it'll take if Portugal will be able to break them down, and how frustrated Cristiano Ronaldo will be. Because as more and more as the game goes on and it's 0-0, then you have to think he's going to get frustrated, because, as I said, Iran and that stifling defensive style that they play can really infuriate opponents.
John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter of Sportsnet with us. Roger Lajoie, Brian Dunstan with you. So looking forward to tomorrow's games, four games on the docket tomorrow. The host Russians and Uruguay are both moving on with their perfect 2-0 records in Group A. Your thoughts on the host and certainly, you know, how they've performed so far in this tournament. A great start for them.
It has been, yeah. It's been great. I mean, you always want to see the host nation do well, just because I think the tournament loses a little bit of its luster when the home nation, it doesn't do well early on. And they've been, fantastic. Again, albeit with a huge asterisk. They've, played Saudi Arabia, who I think is one of the worst, if not the worst, teams. And Egypt, Mohamed Salah aside, is a pretty dire team as well. They've done well, and I think Uruguay is—they're one of these teams that flies under the radar. I say, I have so much time for them, and Oscar Tabata is their legendary manager. He's put together a really good side here, and Luis Suarez and Edison Cavani haven't played particularly well, but they've done enough to get their team, in this position where they are now. So it'll be an interesting match tomorrow. Interested to see how they go out and approach it, because they're both through. Do they go for it and try to win the group? Do they just lay low and try to conserve energy? I mean, I don't know. It's you have to think the Russians will absolutely go for it, in the sense, because they're playing in front of the home crowd and they want to put on a good show. But you never know. You never know how how they'll manage it.
John, I want to get to this before we let you go. I mean, you've probably talked about this ad nauseum since the announcement was made. However, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about it, so I'm going to ask a question anyway. What do you make of this United bid, and what's Canada going to do to make sure that we have a somewhat competitive team in 2026?
Well, first of all, obviously, I think it's great that, the world's biggest and best sporting event is coming to Canada, even if it is for 10 games. I think that's, massive for the country in this game. And I think it would be a huge recruitment drive and really inspire a whole new generation of young kids, both boys and girls, to play the game. So I think our national teams will have long-term benefits, you know, leading up to 2026 and far after 2026. As far as what they can do, I think just kind of continue to do what they've done since John Herdman has taken over as coach, and really sort of be focused on attention to detail and try to get as many young kids or young players in the Canadian player pool involved in the program, get them some valuable national team time, play as many friendlies as they can. And, you know, it's not about 2026 right now. I think it's about 2022 in Qatar. I think, you know, if you can qualify for that out of CONCACAF and, you know, have the experience of playing at one World Cup, but before, you know, 2026, I think that's huge. If Canada fails to qualify for 2022, and, you know, and then, you know, goes to 2026 with an automatic berth as a host nation, you know, great that they'd be there, but I wouldn't have high expectations. I think this really has to be about the next 4 to 5 years and, you know, building towards 2026 by putting together a competitive team and qualifying for 2022 in Qatar.
All right, then, so quickly, what about the United States and what it does for their program as well? Because, you know, we concentrate here on Canada, but, John, the United States program is in the same kind of situation, is it not?
Well, a little bit different. I mean, I do think they were a little bit unlucky to qualify. I mean, they made it to the hex, the final round of CONCACAF qualifying, and just, you know, some poor results didn't go their way. But it's still a talented team when you've got players like Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore and Christian Pulisic, who's a young star with Borussia Dortmund. I think they have enough quality and depth to rebound from this. But again, I mean, there's no question that, much like Canada, I think, you know, qualifying for 2022 is paramount. They've got to get back on track. And if they can qualify for that tournament and build a low momentum and I think just restore some confidence in the program after failing to qualify for Russia, then I think that would be a huge boon for American soccer.
John Molinaro joining us, chief soccer reporter from Sportsnet. The World Cup continues day 11, almost in the books, still the one game to go, and Colombia leading a Poland 1-0 almost 60 minutes in. John, always great to have you on the show. Thank you, sir.
No problem, guys. Enjoy your day.